Good afternoon and welcome to the show, Je Savais Pas. I'm your host, Esther Tyree. And in the studio with me today is a local band called Cashier. And we're going to let each one go around and introduce who they are. And we'll go from there. So thank you for tuning in and listening. And thank you, Kylie, for arranging for your group to get in today and, you know, discuss kind of their your journey and how they got together and all that fun information.
Yeah, totally. I'm Kylie. I am the lead vocalist. I play guitar also, and I write the songs.
Cool.
Yeah.
So pass it to the next one.
David, you go.
Okay, I'm David, and I play drums in the band.
I'm Amanda, and I play bass in the band.
Fun.
I'm Joe, and I play electric guitar in the band.
Cool. So four-piece band. All right. And then, so... Kylie, if you want to run the helm, how long have y'all been together as a band, and when did it kind of get started where you all sort of just decided that, hey, let's do the band thing?
So we started in November, kind of out of necessity, because one of our mutual friends, CL, told someone from Cotton Collective that I play music, and I was like, oh, like, I guess I play music, yeah, but I would prefer to have a band. And so I kind of just, like, out of observation of these three others in other bands, I wouldn't necessarily say I poached them per se, but I did kindly ask them, and they all agreed. And we kind of started there. Our first show was on November 23rd, 2019, at Alexander Books, and people seemed to really like it, so we were just like, yeah, let's keep moving.
Cool. And what genre would you classify the music? Folk, rock, punk, mix?
I'd say, like, rock, alt-rock. Yeah, but it's nothing, like, heavy. It's just, like, I don't know. Dave, thoughts?
That's... alt-rock? I feel like alt-rock, it's in some alt-rock vein.
Yeah.
Okay. And then y'all had to come to an agreement on, I guess, rehearsal schedule and songwriting and arranging and all that kind of fun stuff. How'd that work out?
Yeah, fine. I mean, like, we don't have, like, a schedule. It's kind of just like, oh, surprise, we're playing this show. Let's rehearse a few days before. Which has been fine most times. The songwriting, I kind of just, like, write these songs out of, like, I give myself a personal deadline, and the stress of it forces a little song out of me. And then I'll just, like, send them a really terrible voice recording of it because, like, all I have is my iPhone. And then we'll, like, put it all together. They all have, like, we all have creative freedom over, like, whatever we want to do. So everyone writes their own parts. But the synergy of that is, like, really sick.
Neato. So kind of briefly share with the listener your background. Like, what was your entry point into music, and was guitar your first instrument?
Guitar was definitely not my first instrument, and it certainly still is not. Like, I'm really not the most stellar guitar player, but I do a really good job of playing it off as so. Not even stellar. I play a fine guitar. It's just fine. But I started playing music when I was 3, I think. My parents put me in piano lessons.
Wow.
Yeah, and I like went to private school, so they taught them, like, after school. And I remember, like, literally always hating it so much, and, like, I wanted to do sports, and they were like, you're not an athlete. And I was like, you're right. And so I kind of did that for many years, and I started playing guitar when I was 9. I took lessons for, like, 3 years, and my mom pulled me out because I didn't practice enough. I mean, like, we know how that is. Yeah, I just had this acoustic guitar sitting in my space for, like, so long. And I didn't pick it up again until college. And it was because it was what was, like, accessible to me. I didn't have a keyboard because I majored in songwriting. So it was just like I didn't always have a keyboard accessible to me, so I just like picked up guitar again. And if any guitarist actually watches us play, like they're gonna see that I'm faking it. I'm like slightly figured out how to play every chord I've played, like just by guessing. Mm-hmm. So you know.
So you do more chords than strumming.
Yeah, I'm strictly a rhythm guitar. I do some finger picking in like maybe three songs of ours, mm-hmm. but like it's mostly strumming. Joe kind of really fills in any/all the gaps that need to be filled. So,
okay,
very grateful for that.
Okay, so yeah. Pass it to Amanda and let's let her kind of share some of her input and background and her experience.
Okay, I started off when I was pretty young playing piano.
Uh-huh.
My dad's a piano teacher, so I started probably like 5 or 6, and like Kylie, I didn't really like it too much. It took a while, probably until middle school, to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my first instrument, and then also like played flute in band. And not until maybe 2 years ago did one of my friends named Belle ask me to play bass in her band. And so that's kind of how I started playing, just for fun. It was never anything serious, but knowing piano and just having messed with different instruments, like string instruments, I was able to kind of figure that out. And then, back in November, Kylie asked me to play bass in her band. So that's kind of how it all happened.
Cool.
For me. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Next. David, you want to chime in?
I guess I can go since I'm right here. I started playing music just from middle school band, playing percussion in band.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of grew up in that world of band, marching band, drum corps, that whole thing. And learned a lot about music through that. And all the while I was doing that, I also, like, I kind of learned guitar at the same time that I was learning drums. But I guess I played drums in this band, so I don't need to talk about that.
No, talk about it all.
Yeah.
No. Show off. I talked about piano. We don't have a single piano in our band.
Okay, I play instruments, but in this band I play the drums. And that's pretty much all there is to that,
uh-huh.
I guess.
Dave plays bass, too. He's really good at it. I just want to...
So do you play bass sometimes in the band and let Amanda have a break, or do you
the all switch?
Or do you play dueling bass? Mm-hmm. Get dueling bass going.
I think you're onto something. Band meeting.
Hey, that's how things happen when somebody gives a suggestion. I hadn't thought about that. Let's try it. Yeah, you could go do
all
it.
Four of us play bass.
Yeah, uh-huh. We could just become a bass ensemble.
Yeah.
Y'all are a baseball team.
Yeah. Wow. Hey. Let's change our name.
Baseball.
Baseball cashier. So David, what were some of the things in learning percussion that maybe transferred over to bass, or kind of gave you a whole nother sort of hurdle to cross?
Well, it's... I started to mention that I learned guitar and drums at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think one of the first bands that I was in was on bass, even though it was like my first experience playing bass. And that was actually with Amanda. That was the first band we were in together.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a high school band. And I had done stuff before that, but this was like the first like kind of real thing. So I just kind of figured out bass through being in a band. And so I kind of like from the beginning was playing all the like typical like rock band instruments, like being serious about two of them, but also like kind of playing bass and kind of playing piano. So I found that like whenever I was listening to music, I wasn't really listening as an instrumentalist. And like a lot of people like will see me as a drummer and refer to me as a drummer, but like I don't particularly like identify with an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that having started off learning more than one instrument at a time, just I got lucky because I started playing music at an age where it was easy to like be obsessive and mm-hmm. practice all the time. So I got lucky in the sense that I was able to easily learn like drums and guitar at the same time. And then that has kind of helped me like approach how I create parts, because like I know as a bassist like what they would want to feel from a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know like as a vocalist or a guitarist, like the situations where a drummer can do too much or too little and what they need.
Yeah.
So I try to keep those things in mind whenever I'm making the parts.
Yeah, cool. So pass it on to next one. Remind me of your name, please.
I'm Joe.
Joe. Okay, thank you.
I probably started playing music when I was 7. My parents put me in piano lessons. I didn't really stick with it. I started taking guitar lessons when I was 9 or 10, and I liked that a lot more. Yeah, I feel like I owe most of what I know to guitar to, like, my two teachers, Chris French and Chad Vietar.
Mm-hmm.
Chris was, like, my first guitar teacher when I was, like, 10. And then I met Chad later through the Talented Music Program at Lafayette High School. And he definitely helped me further my own guitar progression.
Okay, so are you the one that does the guitar riffs, solos?
Yeah, I guess that's the role I take. Okay. I just try to compliment Kylie's part in a cool way. I don't know.
Yeah. Sweet. And then, so as far as, like, do you contribute to the songwriting and then, or adding, say, maybe we should add this part, or, like, what's...
I'll maybe make suggestions, but Kylie pretty much writes all the songs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the song is finished when she brings it to the band. We just kind of put our own stamp on it and hope we don't take away from it.
Okay.
That being said, Joe has taught me chords that are in songs that wouldn't be in the songs if Joe has not taught me those chords. So Joe has definitely contributed to the songwriting. That's a fact.
Well, wonderful. Yeah. All right. So then I know we're not set up to play any songs for anybody, but I mean, you feel comfortable singing a chorus or something a cappella?
Oh, God. Esther. At this hour?
Puts you on the spot. No, I mean, do you say, I mean, just kind of, what is like, is there a common theme to the songs?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can talk about them. Yeah, okay. So, a lot of them, many of them, I feel are relatable to a lot of people my age, like in their like early to mid 20s.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, you know, you're kind of plagued by, like, a general anxiety about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these songs tackle that pretty bluntly. Like, I try not to write very vague lyrics
mm-hmm.
because while I, like, think it's so important for lyrical content to be up to the listener's interpretation,
mm-hmm.
I really want to get my point across. So we have, like, two songs that are kind of, like, you know, I grew up in a very religious environment.
Okay.
And when I went to college, I studied a lot of theology, and it really made me feel like my whole world was just, like, crumbling around me. And I was like, wow, I literally don't know anything about anything. Or the more I learn, the less I know, pretty much, which is, like, everything. Yeah.
Right.
So
it's always a good perspective to have.
Yeah.
Keeping
yeah.
humble and open to learning.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the whole information overload really just kind of, like, put my whole entire worldview into a different perspective. So, like, we have two songs that kind of, like, tackle the feeling of, like doubting religion or, like, questioning, like, where that entire foundation comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very honest content. We've got one song about – we only have seven songs, like, that exist
okay.
At this time. But we got a song that's, like, about – a friend that I had in college
mm-hmm.
who she had a really terrible life when I was in college, but she's doing amazing now. She just had, like, really bad friends, and her parents were really mean to her, and, like,
aww.
Yeah, it really sucked, but she's doing so well now. Like, I'm so happy for her.
You're
so
good.
But yeah, like, I was just thinking about her because I saw her, like, put something on Instagram that she was just, like, sad, and I was like, or she was sad because, like, one particular person, like, kept using her for her car because, like, no one has a car in college if
mm-hmm.
you're an international student. Like, that, yeah. And you can just walk to campus. But, like, she got really upset because she really valued this person as a friend, and she kept just like the only time this person would hit her up is to like get a ride. Mm-hmm. And that made me feel so sad for her because it was after I left. Like, she was one of my really close friends. And so I like wrote a whole song for her. I sent it to her. She was like, I'm literally crying at work right now. And I was like, don't cry. Even though it's kind of like an at song, like it's a little bit exposing, but like it's nothing crazy. I've got one about how I had a panic attack at Barnes & Noble. Mm-hmm. Just because that's how it is sometimes. I really be freaking out in public spaces. But like high functioning always.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know. But I did cry at Barnes & Noble. The woman at the checkout was very like, are you okay? Because I was like crying and I was like, I guess I have to buy something before I go. Mm-hmm. Now that I've like kind of had an episode here. So I bought like a journal and she was like, are you okay? But she was like in her 50s and seemed like she had her life kind of together, so that she couldn't relate to me. Yeah. I was like, I'm fine. Can I just get this journal, please? Exactly. So, yeah.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the show Je Savais Pas. I'm your host, Esther Tyree. And in the studio with me today is the band Cashier. And you're listening to Kylie kind of discuss her songwriting journey. So since you only have 6 or 7 songs and you're doing shows, are you filling in then with covers or other songs, or are you just doing those and talking and sharing in between?
We're not doing covers. I hate covers.
That's a lie. We did a cover at the first show.
We did do a cover at the first show.
I convinced Kylie to do a cover at the first show.
Except when it's cold and you have to cover up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, even then. No. I like that. A good, like, 12 blanket moment. Mm-hmm. I get it. No, we did do a cover at our first show. And it was fine. It was There She Goes, but the Sixpence None the Richer version. Mm-hmm. And it was funny. I, like, at the beginning, I was like, oh, this is a song we wrote in rehearsal earlier. And that's how we opened up the show. And then I was like, I have to write more songs because I hate covers. I do, like, even, like, you know, karaoke and stuff, it just makes me, like, feel so weird. Like, I can't, I don't know why. I don't know what it is in me, but it just, like, my soul hates it. So we play, well, originally we only had 6 songs, but we have, like, 1 song in particular that's kind of long. Mm-hmm. But, like, none of the songs surpass, like, 5 minutes. So it's, like, we have, like, a decently short set. I find that that's okay because people won't get bored.
Right.
I guess.
So then you're not doing an entire show by yourself. You're like...
No, we play alongside people. Yeah. It's like we have yet to...
2 or 3 bands for a night.
We've yet to write enough content.
Well, since we're on that train, discuss with the listener any upcoming shows. Because since we're not able to share any music here for them to listen to, maybe if they're in town, you know... Today's the 17th, so anything after that that you would know that's coming up that they would be able to go hear you in person, or any links that you have online for them to go and listen to something that maybe you've uploaded somewhere.
Hmm. Totally, yeah. So we have a show on the 18th.
Okay, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. We're playing with...
Yeah.
We have one March 18th.
We have one March 18th. Surprise. Yeah. We have a show.
We have one April 18th as well.
Yeah. We have a lot. Okay, we have many things coming. Okay,
Big things coming.
Tomorrow.
It is, you know, getting close to spring, so.
Yeah.
Spring into action.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, where's the show?
Tomorrow, we're playing at the Pearl with Scenic World and... Okay. Phony. Yeah, they're a touring band.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow night. And then April 18th, we're playing a show. CL is opening and Julie Odell is headlining.
Okay.
So we're playing a show there at Artmosphere. And then on April 26th, we are playing at Rev. That would be the Sunday. Dave's putting in his calendar right now. it's the Sunday of festival. Hopefully,
yeah,
okay,
that happens.
Okay.
We're playing with a few bands there. They have their, like, Sunday, like, day of concert, mm-hmm. whatever. So we're playing there. Yeah, we don't have anything online right now. We are keeping everything live for the moment, but we are planning to start recording the week of Easter.
Okay.
So that's just a little for the fans.
Okay. So they can kind of... Well, is there any social media where... if they wanted to keep track of, you know, what's going on with the recording or, you know, upcoming shows that or if they wanted to contact you to ask you something that we didn't get to cover on the show.
Yeah, we have an Instagram. It's at cashier.band. There's a lot of tomfoolery that goes on the Instagram, but we do post everything that we're doing on that page.
Okay.
I already took a video of us here, so like it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. They know.
So no email or
you can contact us through cashier the page. Hello. You can contact us through our Instagram. I've had someone from the Advocate like contact us through there and then mm-hmm. ask an email. It's good. I've just given my personal email. Okay. One day we'll have a band email, you know, but for now it's just my personal email. I'm not, y'all could message me if y'all want it. But.
So then are you the only one that sings or Amanda, do you sing harmony or do you share or Joe
David
or
sings.
Dave does.
Dave sings. Okay. It's really funny. He plays drums also. So that takes a lot of skill. Mm-hmm. Our last show, the mic fell.
I hit the mic really hard with my stick.
Don't tell Salt.
I hit the stand. I didn't hit the mic that hard. And it fell down really low, so I had to bend down.
I know. Our last show, so really many crazy funny. Things happened. Yeah. Joe's string broke, like, the first song. And then, like, I had to kind of just, like, stall for literally, like, 5 minutes. It was, like, so awkward for me. But, like, one of our other friends brought Joe his guitar while Johnny Campos restrung Joe's guitar with his own strings.
No, it was mine.
Oh, never mind. It was Joe's strings. Either way, it was a good Samaritan act. Yeah, so many crazy things happened at that show, but it was a great show.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dave sings.
Oh, sweet. So then do y'all take turns with the lead or you just decide that I'll sing the lead and you'll fill in with harmony and...
Yeah, Dave be singing harmony, mm-hmm. but he finds really good ones that it's like kind of dueling melody-esque. They're very prominent, which I prefer. Mm-hmm. So I'll typically sing the lead melody, but Dave's got them good harmonies.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know
this
that.
This is me affirming Dave on public radio.
Well, that's very thoughtful. It's always nice to have those accolades. So in rehearsing... Is that something that you sort of kind of experiment and explore? Like, you sing, I sing, back off, let's do this, let's do that, let's stop, you know?
Literally never.
Usually what happens is just, like, I'll sing. I won't even have a mic when we're, like, learning the song, and I'll just sing to myself. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be like, hey, I have a thing. Give me a mic. And then I'll just, like, I'm pretty sure the first time, like, for the first couple songs that I was singing harmonies on, like, didn't rehearse them. I just like sang them for the first time at the show. Actually, there was the first like two or three shows, I sang harmonies on a chorus that I didn't know the lyrics to.
Oh my God. It's so true. We have a recording, like Amanda's brother took a recording of us at one of our shows and uh-huh. it's like very obviously Dave is singing the wrong lyrics. Yeah. but his vocals are mixed so evenly with mine. Yeah. So it's just
the
like
the first show was like fine. I was just like, I'm just kinda chilling in the back, like adding a little something. With that one, apparently.
Now he knows them, I think. But
well, there's known what they call them, fugues between instruments. Well, why not do one between
vocals
and lyrical fugue. Yeah.
Lyrical fugue. Yeah. It's fun, yeah. But Dave comes up with really good harmonies. Maybe in the future we'll have something where he's a little bit more prominent. Maybe in the future we'll all sing on something and also all play bass. Who knows?
Ooh. Yeah. Well, going back
quartet.
To the bass duel and mm-hmm. and then the lyric fugue, yeah. Upcoming shows, we'll feature this. So a lot of times I'll have an artist in and they'll say, well, I was writing this song and I thought it was done. And then a while later, something else showed up and we added that in. Have you ever had that experience in a song where you think, okay, I've got verse, chorus, I'm done. And then y'all start to rehearse it and somebody goes, well, we should do this right here. And then you're like, let's try it.
Yeah, I feel like almost every song. But there's been specifically the one that we usually play last definitely had that, because at first it was like this like verse, chorus, ending verse. But then I thought that it sucked. I thought it was so bad. I was like, this is terrible. Do y'all have ideas? Please help me. And I've done that with, like, probably every song. I've been like, what do y'all think? Please. I'm not finished with this song, but I think you guys can finish it. It happened with the newest song that we play, which typically just ends up with, like, some buku drums. And, like,
and guitar.
And guitar. No, I'm like, Dave and Joe pretty much just, like, go off at the end of any songs that they do that at the end, know that it wasn't finished. Like, and they finished it. But one specifically, yeah, the one that we usually play last, anyone that comes to our show knows the one because Joe's got a lot of pedals and he does a lot of things with them that make a lot of noise in the most pleasant way. So they know what's up because everyone's like, ah, noise. And they love it. So I brought it in and like we worked on it for like an hour or so, I feel. And I was just like, okay, let me just go like home. And like figure something out, and Joe came over and Joe taught me these new chords, and I was really getting so frustrated because I could not figure that I couldn't play them. I can't play guitar, like that's just a fact. And so like I couldn't play them, and then Joe's so encouraging, he was like, you can do it, and I was like, shut up, I literally cannot do it. And so I stayed up till 2 a.m that night, and I was like, okay, I can get through it. So we wrote a new part for it. And that song actually, like, goes off now. Like, it's pretty good. So, like, instrumentally. Actually, no. It's, like, a decent song. It's a pretty good song. So, like, that's one that really, that was, like, a big change. We just kind of finished it together. But, like, most of the songs I feel we finished together. Like, someone said earlier that, like, the songs are done when I bring them. That was not true. That was a lie. The lyrics are done, quote unquote. Yeah, but
the story part of it's done.
Yeah, maybe
how we play it and show it that maybe is really done. Sweet. All right. Well, anybody want to add anything else before we close up?
Thoughts. Thank you, Chad Viator, for being our music teacher.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's teachers, all. Teachers are wonderful and inspiring. You know, progress and stuff, and. You know, impacting people's lives. Anyway, so you've been listening to Je Savais Pas, a production of KRBS, brought to you as a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, which joins you in support of this station. This is KRBS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, and online at KRBS.org. Thank you, cashier band, Kylie, Amanda, Joe, and David, for coming in and sharing a little bit, and hopefully we'll get you back in when we can play some music. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Have a wonderful Tuesday afternoon.
We all make mistakes in life. Si tu avais manqué la dernière Franco Mix, c'est OK. Tu peux m'écouter this Thursday at 9 p.m. seulement sur KRVS 88.7 avec Drake Benoit LeBlanc. Et c'est formidable.
Hello, this is Lee, your man behind the mic. Many styles of big band and jazz music, plus popular vocals, coming up this Friday night for big band, swings, and other things. From Louis Armstrong to Sarah Vaughan, Billie Holiday, Artie Shaw, Glenn Miller, coming up this Friday night, 7 until 9 on KRVS 88.7 and online at krvs.org.
From the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, this is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles. Find us on Facebook at KRVS Public Media.